You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
In chapter number 5, what Thanksgiving does for you. I want you to look down, if you would, please, at verse number 15, if you would. And at the end of 1 Thessalonians, we'll see here that Paul begins to just kind of give like just little pieces of advice. And they're great pieces of advice, and really they're packed with a lot of teaching, but I want you to look at verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, that's a good thing to do, both among yourselves and to all men. Then he says, rejoice evermore. Then he says, pray without ceasing. So he's giving these little tidbits, but then in verse 18, he throws this at us. He says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there are some Bible verses that we read that may be a little hard to take when you start to think about the implications of what that verse is saying. And to me, this is one of those verses where if you take it kind of at face value and don't really begin to give it some thought and understanding of what the Bible's saying, it's kind of hard to take. Think about what that verse says. In everything, give thanks. Well, Pastor, I've been through some trials this week. Does that mean in everything? That means in that too. Well, I lost my job this last week. In everything, give thanks. And so when you begin to think about the implications of what that's saying, that's a big verse. But what I want to get across to you is I don't believe the Bible is saying that we ought to be thankful for sin. I don't think that's what it means. You know, well, I ought to be thankful, you know, this sin happened. No, I don't think that's the case at all. But what I believe the case is here is in everything, give thanks, because there is a reason in every situation that you find in life, there is always a reason to be thankful. Say, well, what about if I'm going through this situation or this? No matter what situation you're going through, there is always a reason to give thanks in everything. So I want to talk about, preach about what Thanksgiving does for you. You can't see the word Thanksgiving there because of the natural light, but pretend it's there, okay? Let's pray together as we get started. Father, bless now this message. May I get across the thoughts that you have laid upon my heart for your people, and may we take the message and do something with it. May it begin a thought process in us that changes the way we think about things and what we do after. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this last week, all right, some of you have already heard, but I will tell the rest of you who do not know, we had, after the Wednesday night service, we had a little incident in our home. I have never broken a bone in my body. My wife has never broken a bone that I know of, right? Neither one of us. And, one time I was running down the hallway as a teenager and I caught my pinky toe on, like, the side of a door jamb. And I thought for a moment I ascended to the third heaven, you know what I mean? And I was, Lord, I'm coming home. And I remember just being on the floor dying. I probably broke it. I mean, I was running. But, you know, I knew my parents were like, you'll be fine, suck it up, you know. So I'm walking with a limp for a week or two, you know. And so maybe I did that. They wouldn't be able to do anything for it anyway. But I don't think I've broken any bones. And, you know, Titus, our oldest, has not broken any bones. And Zoe hasn't broken any bones. But Silas can no longer say that he has never broken a bone. Our little three-year-old. So Wednesday night after church, we go home. And I'm sitting there with my Taylor guitar, playing guitar, and it's about 9:20 or something. They normally go to bed at 8, but church lets out at 8:05. So we got home, we're talking and everything, having a good time, and little Silas is eating some raisins. And he is just walking back and forth on our couch, just walking back and forth. He wasn't running, he wasn't jumping off the top, he wasn't jumping off the couch. He was just walking back and forth. And so we're talking, all of a sudden he just falls. On the couch, on the padded couch, but he was up next to the armrest, and he fell up against the armrest, and I heard it, and I heard a hit, and I really hope it wasn't the sound of a bone breaking that I heard, but, you know, I heard him hit, and I thought maybe he hit his face on the armrest, and so he just lay there, and he put his face down, and he goes, Daddy, 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 just like that, and I thought, this boy never does that. And so I got up and I walked over, you know, and I thought maybe he hit his face and, you know, maybe he hit his nose or something, he's hurt. And so I flip him over and I look at him and, you know, sure enough, his face is just normal. And then I looked down at his arm, and his arm was bent in a way that I didn't think it should be bent. And it came out like this, and it had this little dip in it that came down like that. And I looked at this little dented little boy's arm, three-year-old, and I said, okay, Silas has broken his arm. We need to go to the doctor right now. My wife was like, what? And I said, Silas has broken his arm. We need to go to the doctor right now. Now, inside, there's like sirens and bells going off. Ah! Outside, we're going to the doctor. And so we try to calmly, and, you know, Titus and Zoe never experienced this before. We've never experienced it with our kids, you know. And so we're like, okay, we're going to go to the doctor. And Silas wasn't even crying. He was sitting there just with a look on his face, kind of pouting with his lip out. And I said, it's okay, bud. And I think we were more worried than he was, you know. And he was just kind of sitting there with his little broken arm and just kind of staring at me. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And so we got, you know, the kids dressed and everything. Well, the kids were in their PJs. And I went and got my shoes on, and I carried them to the car. We buckled them up. We all went. Miss Sylvia, thank the Lord for her. She met us there and took the kids, and we were there until about 2 a.m. They had to give them not anesthesia. They gave them something, ketamine, and they put them under, and, you know, the doctors came in, and they were acting like it was all calm, no big deal. Kids break their stuff all the time, you know, no big deal. And I'm sitting there, like, kind of freaking out a little bit, holding my son, like, on the bed with him, you know. And so anyway, the doctor comes, and he puts him in. Silas is just in la-la land. He's on this wonderful medication. He doesn't know anything's going on. And I said, doctor, give me a hit of that real quick. Okay, all right. And now we're all good. And so he just took his little arm, and he just worked it up like this. And he said, okay. And then he just took two hands, and he just pressed against it. And they came over, wrapped it up. We were out of there by 2 a.m. Silas did not cry one time about the broken arm. Now, when he got the IV, he cried big time, because that hurt, you know. The IV hurt, not breaking his arm, but he broke both bones here. Thankfully, it wasn't the growth plate or anything like that. And, you know, I'm sitting there. This is Wednesday night, the early Saturday morning, and you'll see him. He's got a little cast on, and he's running around. He's fine. He hasn't cried about it. He's doing fine. I think we're traumatized, and he's okay, you know. And just the worst thing ever, just seeing, you know, your kid laying there in the hospital. And I began to think about this verse here. In everything, give thanks. And I don't think that means I'm supposed to sit there and say, oh, yes, I'm so thankful Silas broke his arm. I don't think that's what the verse is saying. But I do think it means in everything, even in this situation, we are to give thanks. I begin to think about things I'm thankful for in that situation. I'm thankful it wasn't worse. I'm thankful it wasn't his neck. I'm thankful he didn't fall on his head and something happened there. I'm thankful it didn't hurt him. I mean, he sat there with a pouty face on the whole time because, you know, he was in the hospital, and he kept calling the nurse the dentist. He's like, I don't want to go to the dentist. And we're like, no one wants to go to the dentist, son. This is much better. They're just fixing your broken arm. It's not like the dentist, you know. It's not near as bad as the dentist. So he came in the nurse, and he said, Daddy, after he got his IV, he said, are there more needles? And I said, no more needles, okay? And I said, Silas, if they give you another needle, do you want me to punch him? He goes, yes. So the nurse came in, and I just fell, and I said, sir, I said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but my son said, if you put another needle in him, I'm going to have to punch you. And he said, not my face. That's how I make my living. I'll punch you for that. No, I'm kidding. But I thought about, I'm thankful he got out quickly. I'm thankful that it wasn't on his growth plates. I'm thankful that it was a clean break and an easy set. I'm thankful for hospitals in America where people know what they're doing. I'm thankful for, and I begin to go through just so many things that I can be thankful for while going through a trial. And I want to tell you a little bit later on why that is so important. It was Charles Spurgeon that one day, the great preacher of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, and he was going home one day after preaching, and he got robbed. Guy came up and stole his money, and he came home that day after being robbed, and he told his wife, he said, well, thank the Lord anyway. And she said, thank the Lord that somebody stole your money? And he said, no, my dear, first I'm thankful that the robber only took my money and not my life. He said, I'm also thankful, secondly, that I had left most of our money at home, and he didn't rob me of very much. And he said, and thirdly, I'm thankful that I'm not the robber. I mean, hey, that's a good attitude, to be thankful in all things. And even during, they say, Pastor, I'm going through something right now. I'm going through these difficulties. And now the family get-together this week is going to be even worse and more awkward and all this stuff going on. How can I be thankful? You can be thankful in anything. In fact, it's the will of God that you are thankful. So here it is, the Tokens Thanksgiving message every November, right? Because you have to have a Thanksgiving message before Thanksgiving. So here it is. And I know we've heard it all before, Pastor. We're supposed to be thankful, blah, blah, blah. It's commanded in the Bible. But really, if you think about it, it should not have to be commanded to a Christian to be thankful. It should be the natural response out of our heart to be thankful for what God has done. And even though we know we're supposed to be thankful, I think a lot of times we really miss how important thankfulness is in the life of a healthy Christian. I want to show you some things this morning, what Thanksgiving does for you. Take your Bible, go to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 8. Psalm 8. I want to tell you a couple things about what Thanksgiving does for you. Oftentimes we think, well, I'm giving thanks to someone else and they'll be blessed by that. No, you being a thankful person, there are benefits for you. That's why God says, I want you to be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You are to be thankful, and there's some blessings that come to you because of it. I want to say, first of all, what thankfulness does for you is it provides the right mindset. It provides the right mindset. I want to show you two of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I think I'm having you turn to these because if you've never read them, I want you to underline them or circle them because these are great verses, okay? Psalm 8, look at verse 3. Here's what David said. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David looks around and he says, I see the wonder of this world. How big it is and how small I am. Why would you ever love me? Why would you ever want to talk to me? And I see a man there who is able to look around in life and say, I've got a lot to be thankful for. God, why would you ever want something to do with me? That's a great mindset to have. It's a great mindset to have. I tell you what, you know this, I know this. We live in a selfish generation. A selfish world, and we're always, I need more, I've got to have more. And maybe in here you're a positive person, you're saying, Pastor, what are you talking about? This we don't have that mentality of always needing more. Two words, Black Friday. Black Friday. Yeah, we go out, we have a great day of Thanksgiving, and then we trample one another to death the next day. So thankful to trample on you to get that TV that's $10 off or whatever. And now we're going out, we're buying, what is this, a cherry pitter? I don't even need this, but it's a dollar off. I'm going to take it. And we're buying all this stuff, and half the time we don't need it. Listen, buy all that you want to, but just give it to me because you don't need it, all right? You're not going to use it. No, I'm just kidding. But we know that we do those sort of things sometimes. We buy things we don't need and we won't use them or whatever. And I'm not saying don't go Black Friday shopping or whatever. But thankfulness, what's it do? It puts us in the right mindset to say, boy, you know what happens when we get too many things? We get too many things, we begin to think that we need more. And we begin to think that we deserve more. But when we stop and realize what we do deserve, man, it gives us the right mindset. Because here's the thing. In order to be thankful, you actually have to think. What David said, when I consider thy heavens, hey, when I think about what you have done, then the next thought that comes to me because I spent time thinking about it is, who am I that you would love me? And so if you're going to be thankful, you're going to have the right mindset, you're going to have to start thinking about it this week. And I would encourage you to think about this week what you have to be thankful for. And when you start listing it, it can be overwhelming. But I tell you what, you're on the right track to have the right mindset. Here it is. What Thanksgiving does for you, it provides the right mindset for you. I'll say secondly, it precedes prayer. Would you go to Psalm 100, please? Psalm 100. It precedes prayer. It precedes good prayer. Thankfulness. It gets you into the right prayer mode, if you will. Look at Psalm 100. I love this psalm of the Bible. It says in Psalm 100, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see, before you ever get to the holy place of prayer in the tabernacle illustration here, you have to pass through the gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise. And I think before you ever come and petition God for something, we have a duty to thank God for what he's already given us. Why would he ever bless us with something else if we haven't thanked him for what he's already done for us? In Psalm 95:2, in my Bible, it's just right across the page. It says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So again, why would God bless us with something else if we never thank him for what he's already done for us? You ever have your kids come up and say something like, Daddy, you're so handsome. Mommy, you're so pretty. And we're skeptical. We look at them and say, what do you want? Right? And it's not like, oh, you're so sweet, you know, or whatever. Give me a hug. You're pretty too. You're handsome too, or whatever. Usually it's like, oh, that's, what do you want? You know, what do you need, boy, girl? And sometimes, but their kids are good about this. And even young ones are smart enough to be able to say, hey, I'm buttering up my parents because I want something because of it, you know? And we know the request is coming. Before we ever request something for God, from God, why don't we just butter him up a little bit? Because you know why? He deserves it. Listen to this verse, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when you are praying, it ought to be prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How about Psalm 105:1? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. See the order there? Give thanks, then call. Make known his deeds among the people. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So before we ever come to the presence of God, there ought to be some thanksgiving. I hope that thanksgiving is not one day a year for the Christian. It ought to be every single day. You should have woken up this morning and said, God, thank you that you saved my soul and that I'm not on my way to hell and that you've delivered me. You set my feet upon a rock. You've given me a church. You've given me health. You've given me family. You've given me a country to live in. You've given me a Bible. You've given me the privilege of prayer and the gospel. There ought to be some thankfulness in the heart of a Christian. Not once a year, every single day. Every day. Thankfulness, what does it do? It provides the right mindset, but it precedes prayer. And then I want to say thirdly, it produces actions. It produces actions. Think about the word that we're talking about this morning. Thanksgiving. See, we can talk about gratitude, but gratitude is an attitude. I have a grateful attitude. But thanksgiving is an action. It's giving thanks. If you're going to be a person that gives thanks and has thanksgiving, it must be something that is expressed. You may say, Pastor, I'm a thankful person. But if you never express it, then you are not giving thanks. You're a grateful person, but you're not giving thanks. And I would encourage you to give thanks. It's amazing how many Christians may sit down this week and have this enormous meal in front of them on Thanksgiving, but they don't take time to give thanks. I hope that's not the case. I wouldn't think anybody here would do that. A man said a long time ago, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. You know, you think about this time of year, who deserves your thanks this season? Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a mom that helped you and got you to where you are, and spiritually you would not be here without her, or, well, physically you wouldn't be here without her either, but you know, maybe this season is a time to say, you know what, I'm going to express that to my mom. Maybe it's a dad who was there for you. Maybe it's a boss, you got a good boss. Maybe it's a family member. and someone that you need to express your thanks to for their stand for Christ or whatever it may be. Maybe it's a church member and someone that you've seen, and maybe someone who's been here for years and just been faithful, and you just need to write them a note or go up to them and say, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord all these years. Maybe it's someone like, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a police officer that you see and the work that they do in our city and how they're trying to keep people safe. And you just stop and say, you know what, officer? You probably don't hear this enough, but thank you for what you do. Thank you for trying to keep us safe. Thank you for being God's form of government here and help and protector in our city. Maybe it's a veteran and you need to walk up to someone and say, hey, I know we did this last week, but you can do it 2 weeks in a row. It's okay. And say, sir, thank you for your service to our nation. An active duty member, thank you for your service. Maybe you see a firefighter. Say, you know what, sir, ma'am, thank you. Thank you for being a firefighter. Maybe it's a doctor. I tell you, I was thankful for the doctors this last week, and I told them. I was thinking to myself, thank you for going to medical school. You know, thank you for not just winging this thing. Well, I think I can fix this. Give me a crack at it, you know. I'm thankful they knew what they were doing. I'm thankful for nurses. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's an enemy. You say, you know what? Thank you for being the source of tribulation in my life that God has given me strength from. You know, I don't know. There's a lot to be thankful for, but I tell you, thankfulness provides the right mindset for you. It precedes prayer, but it also produces actions. If you're thankful, you will express it. Maybe this year you go around the table and list things you're thankful for. Maybe you ought to write a note to somebody this week. Maybe you need to make that phone call you've been putting off to say thank you. Maybe you need to tell someone in their face. Maybe you need to show it with an act of kindness, but I want to encourage you to express it. Because really, if you think about it, thanksgiving, in order for it to be true, it should be thanksgiving. Not just thanksgiving, but thanksliving. We're living the fact that we're thankful and we're showing it to God and to others as well. I want to give you another interesting thought, and I want you to take your Bible to Genesis 39. I'll be done in a few minutes. Genesis 39. I want to review just quickly here. I said that what does Thanksgiving do for you? It provides the right mindset. It gets you in the right mindset. It precedes prayer. It gets you into the place of prayer. It produces actions. If you're really thankful, you will be giving thanks, which is an action. I also want to show you that thanksgiving prevents sin. It prevents sin. I want you to look at Genesis 39. Maybe you never thought about it like this before. Genesis 39 is talking about Joseph. I think we know the story of Joseph. This is where he's at Potiphar's house. I want you to notice what happens to Joseph and his response to it. Look at Genesis 39, verse 5. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So Potiphar put Joseph in charge, and God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. And notice what he said. He said to his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now, he wasn't bragging. He was telling Potiphar's wife, look, I was the guy in the prison, and your husband took me up out of there, and he gave me a job, and he put me in this position, and now I'm the head over everything. He doesn't even know what's going on. He trusts me so much. So he says this, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know what he's saying? He's saying, look what they've done for me. Look at what has been done for me. God ordained that, Potiphar would take me out of that prison and put me in this house, and he's put all these things under my hand. How could I ever sin against God? Thankfulness prevented sin. Because he said, you know what? I have been given too much, and I've been blessed with too much to just turn my back on God and sin against him. Has not God done some amazing things for you too? He didn't say bring you out of the prison, but he brought you out of the horrible pit in the miry clay. He brought you out of sin and placed you upon a rock. Hasn't he died on the cross for us? Hasn't he saved us? Hasn't he brought us from trial and through trial after trial after trial? I think we owe God such a debt that we should be mindful of that, that it should prevent us from ever even thinking about sinning against God, because he has done so much for us. One of the common sins in the Bible that starts listing about the last days is unthankfulness. Unthankfulness in the last days. See, thankfulness prevents not only sin, but it prevents bitterness from settling in your heart too. Why be thankful? Because it keeps you from being bitter. Well, I deserve better than this. Well, no, you don't. And you've been given more than that too. You've been given so much that you have no right to be bitter or angry because of all that God has given you. When people go through a trial sometimes, they blame God. But I think that's because we're not in everything giving thanks. For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Let me give you another verse. In 1 Samuel 12:24, Samuel says this, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Why should we serve God? Why should we be faithful to him? Consider how great things he has done for you. Notice that David said, "When I consider what you've done." And then Samuel says, "If you'll just consider and you think about it, it will prevent you from ever thinking, I need to just get out of this place. I need to go do this and I want to do my own thing." No, if you realize what God's done for you, it will prevent sin in your life. Lastly this morning, I want to say this. What does Thanksgiving do for you? It prevents sin. It provides the right mindset. It precedes prayer. It produces actions, but it also pleases God. It pleases God. I want you to go to one more place with me, and we'll be done. Revelation chapter 4, please. Revelation 4. I'll read this verse. I'll make a comment, and we'll be done. As you go to Revelation 4, I want to read a verse from Hebrews 13:15. I think was even mentioned by Brother Jones this morning. The Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." Offer that sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, because he deserves it. Would you look at Revelation 4, verse 9, as we close? A scene from heaven in the future. When those beasts, in verse 9, Revelation 4, 9, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, this is again a picture of us, the elders there, "For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." As these people representing us bow down and give their thanks to God, why do they do that? Because he is worthy of it. He's worthy of it, and he deserves every bit of it. Listen, God doesn't just want you to say thank you with your lips. He wants you to say thank you with your life, too. Let's be people that are thankful with our lips, but are thankful with how we live our life, too. I encourage you with that today. Thanksgiving and thanks living is the way to please God. I ask you this morning, are you a thankful person? Are you giving thanks? This week is a great opportunity since it lends itself to this. I'd encourage you, let's not just be thankful in November or December, but when the Mondays in January roll around, let's be thankful. In everything, give thanks. And then maybe today you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I say, the Bible says that thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There is one gift that can be given to you today that is the greatest gift you'll ever receive, and it's Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross so that you could go to heaven. He paid for your sins so that you could go to heaven. And today, if you wanted to, you could accept that gift as a free gift, and you could truly be thankful for the greatest gift that's ever been given.